Amen. Praise God. Very thankful. Talking this morning in Sunday school hour, just reminding ourselves again of the coming of the Lord, and then singing together, "Behold, He comes, riding on the clouds, shining like the sun at the trumpet call." And that will be our year of Jubilee. What a joy to be part of that. Let's open this morning with a word of prayer. Father, I thank you for this beautiful morning, Lord. I thank you for each one that's here. Lord, I thank you for what we're looking forward to heaven, to your return, to freedom and rest from this mortal flesh. Lord, for our Jubilee, our freedom, Lord, not just from all the things that we might think of, but Lord, from physical separation from you, from our freedom, from our bent towards sin, freedom from some of those struggles and trials of this life. Father, I thank you that that day is coming. And Father, I pray even as we looked this morning that that would spur us onward. Father, as we open your word now, I pray that you would speak to our hearts and draw us close. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. This morning I'd like to look at some things not unrelated to what we've gone over in previous months in 1 Corinthians there in Sunday school. But I want to start with a passage in Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6, beginning with verse 1. He says, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye that are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering yourself, thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself." I want to look specifically, hone in on verse 2 there. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. What is the law of Christ? John 15, beginning in verse 10, Jesus said, "If you keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken to you, that your joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you." So, looking back again in Galatians there, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. What law? Love one another as I have loved you. Isn't that the example Christ left us? Bearing our burdens. He bore our cross to Calvary. That wasn't his cross. He'd never sinned. That was the cross for a sinner. Cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Jesus didn't deserve that. He bore that for us. And now he calls us to do that for one another. Verse 2, "Bear ye one another's burdens." Bear ye one another's burdens. This isn't just speaking of faults, as it says in verse 1. It begins by talking about faults, but it also, this broadens it out and says, hey, there's more things than that as well. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill. In this way, you can fulfill that law of Christ. In this way, you can fulfill Christ's command, love one another as I have loved you. We are not independent entities as believers. We are part of a body. We are part of a building, it says in 1 Corinthians, that we are like a building being fitly framed together. It also says that we're like a body, with each member individually being like a different part of that body, a different joint, a different sinew, a different muscle, a different vein, a different artery, a different tendon. And we are all part of that same body. There's a quote that I've heard just the beginning of many times throughout my life, and I had to look up and actually see who it was that said it. But an English poet said this. He said, "No man is an island." And you've probably heard that quote before. "No man is an island entire of itself. Every man is a piece of the continent, a part of the main. If a clod, if even a clod be washed away by the sea, Europe is the less, as well as if a promontory were, as well as if a manor of thy friends or of thine own were." John Donne said that. But the quote that I grew up hearing is, "No man is an island." We're not just out there, what I do only affects me. I'm dependent on me. If I don't have everything I need, then I'm going to lose out and fail. And this isn't to be taken, this isn't, the proper perspective isn't, well, everyone should be helping me bear my burdens. But rather, we should be looking for opportunities to care for one another. I wonder what my brother or sister is bearing this week. Even if I have burdens that I would like someone to bear with me, my focus shouldn't be on, oh, I wish they would come help me bear my burden, but rather it should be on, how can I bless them in some way this week, today? How can I, what are their burdens? What are they bearing? And how can I take a part of that and carry that load for them? It's interesting, being without a regular income the last several months, and I've noticed this in times past as well when we were in financial situations like that, that many times the blessings and the provision of God come through places where you find something to be done and you find a place to serve that doesn't look like it's going to provide for my needs, but it's a need for somebody else, and it's a way I can serve and pour into them, and I have the time and I have the availability, so why not? And many times I've seen again and again how that in and of itself, as unlikely as it might seem, might be the very thing, the very way in which God supplies and provides for our burdens. And we as a body ought to be watching out for one another. It's not that every time that the hand takes care of the left hand takes care of the right hand, that it's then automatically the right hand that's going to take care of the left hand. Sometimes it's a different part of the body that takes care of the needs of this member. But if this member wasn't taking part in investing in the body and pouring in and bearing the burdens of others, there may not have been that connection and that flow of the love and the care for one another that was needed to come in and help in the need of that one who was reaching out to help someone else. Now, we also have to remember that we have to be willing to be vulnerable enough to let our brothers and sisters know when there is a need, but we also should be focused on observing and looking for opportunities to serve one another, to bear one another's burdens. That is the not just one of the commands of Christ, but here in Galatians it says it is the law of Christ. There are other things he said, but as Jesus boiled down the Ten Commandments into two, love the Lord your God with all your heart and love your neighbor as yourself. If you take the commands that Christ gave and you boil them down into one essence, this is it. Love one another as I have loved you. There's so many details that can be given and ways we can look at it and angles and perspectives, but it boils down to that one thing. Love one another. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. And he says in verse 3, "For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself." We're not supposed to be getting so puffed up that we think we're above that menial task. Well, somebody should help that poor brother that's struggling, but I don't do that. Romans chapter 15, beginning with verse 1, he says, "We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities or the weaknesses of the weak, and not to please ourselves." Now, if you look at this, as he goes on down through, you realize that all of us in various aspects of our life could be the strong, and also at the same time in a different aspect of our life could be the weak. But in whatever areas I have strength and grace that the Lord has given me and things he's taught me, he says they ought to bear the infirmities or the weaknesses of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification, to build him up. What can I do to bless him? For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, "The reproaches of them that reproached thee fell on me." Jesus wasn't looking out for himself either. He showed us an example of serving to all those around him. There were those who loved him and who served him as well while he was here physically on earth. But he wasn't looking out for how he could please himself. He wasn't looking out for what he could do and what he could gain and how he could prosper, and focused on, well, I've got my own problems I got to work through. Jesus said it numerous times that the foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests. I don't even have a place to lay my head. Well, Jesus, then it makes sense, you know, for you to focus on trying to get that worked out before you worry about the guy that's, you know, bedridden, before you worry about the guy that's demon-possessed, before you worry about the person who's crippled. Doesn't it make sense? I mean, I got to take care of me first, right? But Jesus focused on loving and serving others. And he's called us to not only look out for ourselves. It says, going on down in Romans 15, "Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others." Look at, not, don't just focus on, well, what do I need to do today for me? And how can I figure out how to get through these difficulties and these things that are arising in my life? But rather, also, you do have to think about the needs and the things that you have to work through. But also, look at what's going on with your brothers and sisters around you. And yes, I may be overwhelmed with the things that I have to do right at this moment, but is my brother or my sister overwhelmed as well? Maybe I could lend a hand. Sometimes it doesn't cost me very much at all to lend a hand for 5 minutes, but it may save them hours of running around doing extra stuff. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the famous chapter on love, we read the first portion of that chapter begins out speaking specifically about the characteristics of how love presents itself, how love carries itself. "Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself. It is not puffed up." But partway down through the chapter, it switches to speaking about how charity interacts with others. And in verse 7 it says, "It bears all things. It beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things." Charity never faileth. It bears with difficulties and hardships, not just in my life, but bears along with my brothers and my sisters when I know they're having a hard time. It believes all things. I think that would refer to believing the best about our brothers and sisters rather than, well, he just did that just to spite me. Maybe he didn't. Maybe he just didn't know you had such sensitive feelings on that subject. Maybe it wasn't intended to hurt you at all. Believe the best of your brothers and sisters. Hopes all things. I saw when I was in CDL course, I was out in the yard and there was this one old grumpy instructor that was always betting against the students, so to speak. He would be showing somebody how to do a maneuver and he'd say, all right, go get in the truck and, you know, back it into this position or whatever. And you'd be standing back there by him while that student was up doing the maneuvers and, yeah, I bet he's going to turn the wrong direction. Why would you bet against him? Why wouldn't you hope that he gets it? Why would you assume and take glee and pleasure in the fact that you're hoping he's going to mess up so you can somehow either, you know, belittle him or make fun of him or take pleasure in him struggling? Love, here he says in verse 70, hopes all things. We're hoping the best for our brothers and sisters. We're hoping that everything works out well for them. We're not sitting over there like, well, yeah, I mean, hey, if it works, that's fine. But, you know, I really don't think he's going to get it. I really think he's going to screw this up bad. Just watch and see. He's going to mess that up. No, rather hoping. Hey, yeah, he might screw it up. I've screwed it up a few times myself, but I think he's going to get it. I hope that he is. And if he doesn't, then I'll be here to help bear his burden with him. But it says, it beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, and endureth all things. Enduring is continuing on faithfully, lovingly, though it slap you in the face time and time again. It's a selflessness that characterizes this love. It's a focus not on me, on my goals, on my aspirations, on my trials, on my burdens, on my hardships, but rather focuses on my brothers and my sisters saying, yeah, I've got a lot of stuff to get done today, but what could I do to bless my brother or sister? It could be something as simple as sending them a text that says, hey, good morning, I was thinking about you. That could brighten somebody's day up immensely. Hey, I'm praying for you, brother. I know you've got some hard stuff going on today. Thinking about you. It could be as simple as remembering to bear that burden with them in prayer without even necessarily them knowing it. Saying, Father, help that brother, help that sister as they're going through difficulties and hardships. But this is the law of Christ. Love one another as I have loved you. And this is the way in which Paul lays out here in Galatians that we can fulfill that, is by bearing one another's burdens. That doesn't mean we take it all away and the other guy's standing there with nothing to do. That means we're helping. We're coming along beside when he's carrying something heavy and putting a shoulder in and saying, here, I'll help carry some of that. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 26 and 27, we went through this recently in Sunday school. He says, and whether one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. If one member, one part of the body is struggling and having a hard time, all of us should be aware of that, should be caring about that and helping one another. If I hit my thumb with a hammer, my whole body strove to protect that thumb. This hand comes in and grabs hold of it. It goes to my mouth. My mouth is trying to help it. My knees might curl up if it was really bad. The whole body is coming together around that member who's suffering. Whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it, or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. When we see a brother or sister having good success in an area, don't bet against them. Don't be like, oh, well, I'll see how long that lasts. No, rejoice with them. Hope for the best with them. Pray that God uses this time to rejuvenate them and bless them and encourage them and strengthen them, because we all know, if you've walked this life for very long, that those times of blessing often are short in comparison to the times of difficulty. So rejoice with them. Enjoy it on their behalf, knowing that it's going to pass and they're going to have difficulties again. And when they do, I want to be here to share in that as well. Now, verse 27, now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. We're all individual members in particular, but we're all part of the body of Christ. And a body cares for other parts of the body. We're supposed to be watching out for and loving and helping one another, and helping one another to stay straight, to stay right with the Lord. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 14, he says, now I exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly. There's a time and a place where you don't just say, hey, it's okay, brother, I'll help you bear the load of the consequences of the sin that you're continuing to live in, but rather say, hey, you know why you're in that situation is because you're not following and obeying the Lord in this particular situation or particular thing. And I'm happy to help you bear burdens, but part of that sometimes is to say, hey, this is wrong. You have to get before the Lord and make this right. But he goes on. He says, now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly. Comfort the feeble-minded. Support the weak. And be patient towards all men. So there's different things that different people need at different times. Sometimes they're the weak that need supported. Sometimes they're struggling and they're having a hard time and they need comforted. Sometimes they need to be reminded and challenged and called back to right relationship with God. We all need those things at times in our lives. And it takes discernment from the Holy Spirit sometimes to know what's needed in a situation. Sometimes we try to offer support when there's a warning needed. Sometimes we try to offer comfort when we're doing basically go be warmed and filled, and I'm praying for you. And it's like, well, that's great and all, but you know, could you come help me lift this board real quick? And then, you know, I'm glad you're praying for me, but I could also use, you know, a physical help right at this moment. So we have to have the understanding and the connection and the direction from the Holy Spirit to know sometimes what's needed in each individual situation. But he ends that section saying, be patient towards all men. Be patient towards all men. I think that refers back to the same thing as where he says, love endures all things. Be patient with one another. Be patient with one another. None of us are perfect. None of us has it all figured out. None of us is going to do it right all the time. We should be quick to make excuses for our brother and sister, not for ourselves. Be patient toward all men. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 12 through 14, he says, take heed, brethren. It means pay attention, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort, that means call out and challenge and encourage and bless one another daily while it is called today, lest any be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. But I and you are not called to bear that all the way through alone. We are called to exhort one another, bear one another's burdens daily, he says. Daily. Lest any be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. It's sneaky. It comes in quiet. It comes in quick. It's easy for it to slide in unawares. A thought. Why did they look at me that way? And then it starts to, if you don't take care of it and you don't deal with it, it starts to fester. It starts to churn under the surface. I don't know if they like me very much. To be honest, I don't know if I like them very much. And you can start doing all these things in your head. It's deceitful. It's sneaky. So he says, make sure that you're taking time regularly to exhort one another, to bear one another's burdens, to check in on each other, to know where each other are in life. Exhort one another daily. And then I want to close by reading a passage from Hebrews chapter 12. He says, wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Now, lest we get confused and think this is all dependent on us, because he's saying, let us run with patience. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset us. Verse 2, he says, looking unto Jesus. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. You're not going to do it without him. He's the author and the finisher all the way through. It's going to be dependent on him, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be weary and faint in your minds. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin, and you have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be subject unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them that are exercised thereby. It sounds like he's speaking to us just as individuals, until you read the next verse and he says, therefore, lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees. Saying, hey, it's going to be hard for each one of you. It's not going to come easy for any of us. That's okay. We have a Savior who's there helping us. He's the author and the finisher of our faith. Look at His example and then also lift up the hands that hang down and the feeble knees and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way. But let it rather be healed. This isn't just me by myself trying to figure it out. Just me and Jesus got our own thing going. This is me looking to Him and also bearing up my brothers and sisters around me. It's interesting. There's a little game, physical game that I've done before with different people. If you try to sit in midair, it's very, very tiring and you really can't sit at a 90 degree angle. But if you have four people standing in a circle and I sit on his knees and he sits on this brother's knees and that brother sits on that brother's knees, we can sit in midair in a circle all resting on one another. And we're all bearing one another's burdens and together we can do something. I can't sit in midair. I can't just sit there, much less hold my brother's knee, hold my brother on my lap myself and bear his burdens. But if I have another one who's helping me bear my burdens, and there's another helping him bear, and we're all helping where there's needs and helping bear one another's burdens, we can all be supported and stand firm. We can all be, when we're in those places or in areas in our lives where our knees are feeble, where our hands hang down and we're just so tired, we can be helping one another. And in another area, God's given me maybe a strength that I can use to help raise the feeble knees on that brother or sister and help this one. And they're helping someone else and someone else is helping them. And we're all growing together. I think I realized more post-kidney surgery than ever before how much every part of the body pulls and relies on every other part of the body because it all goes through your core. And when you have that split, you realize it's trying to pull off of a muscle down here in my leg to give counterbalance to my arm being raised. It's trying to pull from a muscle somewhere else to lift and to pull, and all it's all intertwined, and we have to be there for one another. When this brother's pulling, he has to have us on the other side giving counterbalance so he can pull up. And we can all pull together. We can all make straight paths for our feet. We can be watching out for our brothers and sisters in areas where they may be lame. He says, lest they be turned out of the way, but rather let them be healed. Let's heal one another. Let's watch out for one another. Let's care for one another and so fulfill the law of Christ. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this morning, Lord. I thank you for the way that you've fashioned your body together, the church together, to be a body, to supply one member where another member is lacking, and to help and to bear one another's burdens, and so to all be strengthened together to walk and to pursue and to follow faithfully after you. Father, I pray that each one of us would be intentional about taking notice and making a point of looking out for our brothers and sisters and where we can bear their burdens, where we can lift up if their hands are hanging down or if their knees are feeble, where we can encourage and strengthen one another, where we can call them back to righteousness in an area that's needed, where we can comfort them in an area that's needed, where we can give a helping hand and a loving support as needed. And Lord, that we would be patient towards all. In Jesus' name, amen.